This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know when you're at a party and someone casually drops a travel finance tip that makes you rethink every trip you've ever booked? That's the energy Smart Travel brings. Except it's backed by serious research and delivered in a way that's actually fun to listen to. They cover topics like which flight deals are actually deals and which are just clickbait, how to get value from your points instead of settling for that tiny reward at checkout, and the smartest ways to book flights without laying that exhausting game of guess the cheapest day. If you care about traveling well and not overspending to do it, this is a show you'll want in your rotation. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
What's going on, everybody? DeAndre Koch here with another weekly edition of our Quick Hits. This is our up-to-date news in the world of points and miles and travel, and up-to-date at least as of this recording. I've got a decent amount of things to go through today. I will start with first talking about Bilt and the Bilt Palladium card that I am receiving, which as of this recording, I haven't actually received mine yet. So I'm hoping it's going to be here by the 7th, but we'll see. I know some people have already received theirs. I got mine or requested mine a little bit later in the release fiasco, if you want to call it that. I didn't get it immediately the day of, especially because I was still traveling in New Zealand when it came out and wanted some time to kind of frame around and create a strategy on what I wanted to do. I'm not going to unpack the calculation of Bilt cash and all those different things. And like I did not do in previous Quick Hits, it's so complex, I don't think it really makes sense to. I'm going to explain a little bit about my thoughts and what I plan to do specifically when getting this card, because you might find some of these strategies helpful. Now, one thing I do want to point out, some of this strategy is based more specifically on the fact that if you are in our WhatsApp group and you're also following our podcast and such, you will know that 2 weeks ago about, we had someone in our WhatsApp group said, Valerie specifically, who said, if you did not apply through the Points Guy link specifically for their specific offer, which was not just the regular 50K sign-up bonus for the card, but in addition to that, through the Points Guy, they were offering through their link that you would get 5x spend per dollar on the first 5 days of having the card for up to a max of 50,000 points. So basically, if you spend $10,000 on the card, instead of getting 2x, you would get 5x, and effectively that turns your sub into almost 100,000 Bilt point offer in the first 5 days. So there's a whole process of, we talked about how in the WhatsApp chat, so reasons like this are why you want to be part of our WhatsApp community chat, because through her posting about that in our chat, even individuals such as myself who did not use the Points Guy link to apply for the Bilt Palladium, I coincidentally had applied for the Bilt Palladium the day before, and I did not use the Points Guy link, was able to get this offer added to my account, and we had a few dozen people in our group that were able to do the same thing. So for those of you that either A, listen to the podcast and I explain how to do that, or are in the WhatsApp community and know the steps and got the Bilt card and you're wondering, how are we going to spend 10K in 5 days? For some individuals, that's not too hard. If you're balling like that, go buy a Birkin bag. I heard they're expensive. If you're not balling like that and you're like, hey, strategically, how are we going to do this? My thought process, very simple, is this. I am full sending everything and anything I can on the Bilt card in the first 5 days. That's going to include the Zill Money payroll on credit card strategy that we've talked about in the podcast many times. Do I know if it's going to actually count? Technically, they've said no third-party processors in their terms and conditions. They also mentioned, you know, no points for taxes, which I know some people were thinking about doing. So I don't know if it will work. I am saying I'm going to try. So everything that doesn't require me to change an automatic transaction already. So if I have another card that's got my utility bill as an example, as an automatic payment, I'm not going to bother to go and change all those things. However, that being said, a lot of those things actually are on my Freedom Unlimited card because I don't have a 2X card. Taryn, my wife, has the Capital One Venture X, but I do not have a 2X card. So I'm actually probably going to make a lot of these changes to the Bilt Palladium card in general. But for the most part, I'm not going to try and go in and change every auto pay if it makes sense on the card that it's on. However, I plan to send everything and anything I can to the Built card in these first 5 days. Specifically, two things that right now are well-timed. IHG points and Hilton Honors points for purchase. We've had multiple discussions on the show about why buying points can make a lot of sense, the math behind it. And if you want a deep dive on why buying points makes sense, either go back to episode 84 with Travel Like Tommy or search on our website, our blog post, Buying Points, and it basically breaks down the episode and you can kind of read that and get a good idea. So I'm not going to go into the reasons why that makes sense, but it makes the most sense to do. And the only time I ever buy points, I should say ever, realistically ever buy points, is when they are offering a 100% bonus. And last year, we bought IHG and Hilton points around the same time because both of them were offering 100% bonus. Now, I max out what we can possibly buy. For IHG, we buy them under Taryn's account. She had the IHG Premier One credit card that gives her platinum status, and then she bought some extra points at the end of the year they were offering to kind of buy into diamond status. So we're basically stacking all of our IHG points under her account. And then for me, I've got the Hilton Diamond status, so I buy the Hilton Honors points. So for IHG, when they're offering 100% bonus, that is 200,000 points that you can buy with a 200,000 point bonus. So you're getting 400,000 points for the cost of $2,000, basically. So I'm paying $2,000 to get 400,000 points. So I'm paying half a cent per point. Same thing with Hilton, except Hilton offers you the ability to buy 240,000 points with a 100% bonus. So then in return, you would get an additional 240,000. So that puts you at 480,000 points. I like this strategy a lot because it saves my transferable points. And that's the short version. When you get a right redemption in the right place, you can save your Amex points. You can save your Chase points. You can save your transferable points when you buy points properly. So for that, for maxing out my IHG, I should say our IHG and our Hilton points, that's $4,400 of spend right there. That's something that when I get the Built Palladium card, ideally this weekend I can activate it, I plan to do immediately and get 2x on that spend, which is a great timing because you really can't buy points and get any sort of multiplier at all for buying points at all. Hopefully neither of these offers go away by the time that this happens. Double check, make sure you check your targeted offers. For you, for me, it might be that I'm buying at 100%, but when you go to check, it might be 80 or 90%. So double check and make sure that you do have a full 100% offer before you do it. If not, then you're gonna have to wait to do it when it makes sense, but they will come back around at some point in the year. This is not an only once a year thing that I've seen. Usually both of these hotels have this two or three times a year where they'll open up and get 100% buy window. So that's just my thoughts there. Right there, that's $4,400 and then other spend between personal and business. I don't think I'm going to have a problem hitting that 10K number, but that's just my thoughts on how I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm curious. Feel free to throw in the WhatsApp chat or whatever it may be. What's your strategy? It might be helpful because I know people were asking in our community, what are people trying to do this? Because I know some people were planning originally on doing property taxes and other things, but obviously that's going by the wayside. Perhaps if you have a school tuition that you can pay a little bit early or pay your daycare provider a month or two early, different things like that, I would say get creative because especially if you have this 5X in 5 days window on 10 grand, I would absolutely try to take advantage of it because I think it's a really, really great way to have a huge multiplier and really boost that 50K sub to basically 100K sub. Now getting into the other travel news. So this has already started. This started February 1st, but I think it can be helpful to know that right now, basically, if you fly without a real ID, it's going to cost you $45. So if you show up to the airport without a real ID compliant license or any other approved form of transportation like a passport, then you're going to get charged a $45 confirmed.id fee just to get through security. And so this applies if you've never upgraded to Real ID, you forgot your ID at home, lost it mid-trip, or have some sort of expired or non-compliant license. And what's going to happen is, just in case this is could be helpful, in case you do have a passport, have an ID, and you lost it on your trip, which can happen, you'll need to prepay online through TSA's website before going to the airport. That fee is non-refundable, and just to know, it does not guarantee that you'll be cleared to fly, and it covers up to 10 days of travel. So if you show up without prepaying, you're going to have to leave the line and then spend 10 to 30 minutes completing the identity verification and a bunch of other steps. And again, if you have your global entry card, passport, military ID, then you're all set. In fact, I actually keep my global entry card with my stuff just in case I ever forget my ID. It's with my travel bag because I don't really think I've ever had to use or show my global entry card. And if you are an iPhone user, I've mentioned this before in the podcast, but they have the new digital ID, which is tied to your passport. And it now works at 250 plus TSA checkpoints for domestic flights. So basically, you use your Apple Wallet to be your passport for you. My passport's a little bit older. I think the chip in it has gone bad, so it doesn't actually work for me, but hopefully it works for you. We'll link to this in the show notes, but something else to know, this is something that someone mentioned in our WhatsApp chat as well, and it's that Hyatt does have their Q1 promotion for their Hyatt Journeys, and basically it's 3,000 points for every 3 nights stayed through April 15th. And one thing to know is that Hyatt Place and Hyatt Select hotels actually get 4,000 points for the same stays. And you're limited to 7 bonuses under this promotion. And we'll link to the registration link in the show notes in case you missed that. I don't think it came through email. I did see it in my app, but regardless, it's very simple. You just go to the link, put your Hyatt number in, and it registers you.
You've heard me talk about Bilt as the loyalty program that lets you earn points on rent wherever you live. And they just leveled up even more. As of 2026, homeowners can also earn up to 1.25x points on their mortgage payments. This is thanks to Bilt's 3 new credit cards, the Palladium card, Obsidian card, and Blue card. All 3 turn your housing payments, rent or mortgage, into flexible rewards, so you can choose the card that fits your lifestyle without missing out on points and exclusive benefits. Bilt points can be redeemed at top airlines and hotels, Amazon.com purchases, future rent payments, and even more. Bilt points have also been ranked by top publications as the industry's most valuable points currency. Your housing payment is already your biggest expense. Make it your most rewarding. Find the card that fits your lifestyle and apply today at joinbilt.com/journey. That is joinbilt.com/journey. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you. Terms and limitations apply. Subject to approval and eligibility, Bilt cards are issued by Column NA, member FDIC, pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Taking a quick step back, I know I just mentioned about Bilt cards excluding tax payments. The same time that they were mentioning that they're excluding tax payments and some other third-party processors, they also mentioned kind of online payment places like eBay and Facebook Marketplace would get excluded as well. Just so you know, if you missed this piece of news, tax payments are still excluded, but eBay and Facebook Marketplace are good to go now for Bilt. So those will not be excluded for earning points on their cards. I think the kind of last biggest news in the world of points and miles and travel, and this affects me as well, is that we now have some clearer details on this long anticipated transition of Barclays Advantage Aviator cards to Citibank. So starting April 24th of this year, all Barclays Aviator accounts officially move from Barclays to Citi. You're going to keep using your existing card through that date, and then Citi will mail you a replacement card within about 6 to 8 weeks. So what's going to happen is your account history, your credit limit, and anniversary date will all stay the same, and your annual fees will not change immediately. Now, the big headline here is that Citi is allowing a temporary overlap of benefits, meaning that some cardholders are going to get access to Citi perks while still keeping some of the legacy Barclays benefits for a limited amount of time, and we're not exactly sure how much time that is. So I think this is where it gets interesting. Aviator Red cardholders gain 2x on gas and dining, while likely still keeping the Barclays companion certificate that you can earn for right now. I think the Aviator Silver cardholders, which arguably many of them are probably the most upset at this change, but they could see the biggest upside because they could stack the spend-based loyalty point bonus with the flight-based loyalty points, plus Admirals Club passes and multiple statement credits during the overlap. So what I mean by that is the Aviator Silver card had a spend requirement to earn a specific amount of loyalty points. Don't quote me on this. I think it was close to spending around 40K a year, maybe 50K a year, and you would get about 15,000 loyalty points just purely from spend. I actually prefer that the new Globe card provides up to 15K loyalty points per year, and that's actually just on flying. So every 4 segments you fly with American Airlines, you get 5,000 loyalty points. And because where we live, we have to connect everywhere. One trip to Mexico for us is 4 segments because it's 2 flights there and 2 flights back. So I really like the fact I don't have to spend a ton on the card to get the loyalty points, and we fly primarily American, so we're going to earn those loyalty points, which is a reason why I actually just got the Globe card myself. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But if you have a Silver card holder, you can hit the spend-based loyalty points, and once you transition, likely hit the flight-based loyalty points as well, so you could possibly stack up to like 30,000 loyalty points just from the combination of spend and flying and this transition period with these 2 cards. Plus, you get the Admirals Club passes with the new Globe card and other things. So I think that's what's a really unique strategy if you are an Aviator Silver card holder, which you really haven't been able to get that or apply for that in the last year or two or more. You have to actually get the red and then upgrade to the silver. I'm not sure if you can even upgrade to the silver anymore because of this transition period. If you can and you think you can be strategic with it, it might be worth a try. But again, I'm going to assume that you can't upgrade to the silver anymore if you don't already have it. One thing to know is that this conversion should not prevent you from earning future Citi Advantage welcome bonuses, since it's a Barclays to Citi transfer, not a Citi product change. And there's not a ton of downside in waiting. I think for most people, canceling before the transition probably doesn't make sense. However, my thoughts are more so on canceling, actually. And the reason for this is, and I say canceling my Aviator Red card. So I applied actually just last week for the Globe card, as I just mentioned, for a lot of reasons. I think it's going to be a great card just to keep since we fly American so much and just make the whole process of getting to status easier. But also for the fact that I knew that, yes, I've earned American miles from my Citi Advantage business card that I got a few years ago within the last 48 months, which is usually Citi's rule. I got the Red Aviator card about a year ago, so I got a bunch of miles from Barclays. But because I haven't had a personal Citi American Airlines card, I'm still eligible for the sign-up bonus. So that's why I went ahead and applied for one as opposed to waiting for this transition period. Now, the other piece here, though, is, and this is what's kind of unknown, and I don't want to mess this up. I'll probably talk about this a little bit more later in the year, especially in the mid-year recap. But now with the addition of the Bilt Palladium and the Globe card, I'm for the first time, I think, ever at past 524. I think I'm actually at 624 now. And because of that, I'm concerned that with this change, we don't know 100% if when changing from Barclays to Citi, if that's going to report as a new account, which would increase the 524 number essentially. So that would put me at 724 if that happens. And again, we don't know if that's going to happen for sure, but I don't want that to happen. And now I've got another ding on my 524 track that I got to wait to fall off in the future. That's not even really benefiting me that much. And also, when I applied for the Citi card, I think I got an insane credit limit. Like they gave me like 35K or something like that as a credit limit for that card, which if I wait for the Barclays to transition over, that's going to be another large amount of credit that I don't remember what I have in Barclays. It might be 25K, and that could preclude me from access to more Citi credit in the future for cards I actually want. So I think I'm going to actually cancel my Barclays card before this April 24th deadline. And I don't often advocate for closing down personal accounts. I've only had this one for about a year, and it'll be about a year and a half at the time I close it. But I think that's going to be worth it to not have another 524 hit. I'm curious what your thoughts are. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? Do you think I should stick it out? And why? I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you give me something pretty compelling, I'll share it on a future or maybe next week's Quick Hits to say how you swayed my mind or whether I think, yeah, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, but I'll stick with what I'm doing. A couple transfer bonuses that are active right now just to put on your radar. This one will be over in a few days, which is Capital One's 15% transfer bonus to Avianca Life Miles. That ends February 11th. And they have a really nice one right now, 30% transfer bonus. And this, again, still Capital One to JAL, Japan Airlines Mileage Bank. That goes through the end of February. And this one isn't super exciting, but if you need a small top-up, it can make sense, which is 50% transfer bonus from Chase to Marriott Bonvoy. And that also runs through the end of this month of February. that is basically all the things I wanted to cover on this week's Quick Hits. A lot of interesting news, a lot of different things to talk about. The last thing I'll mention, which is not necessarily travel news related, but I will throw out there, we do have our 2-week New Zealand itinerary live on our site. We will put the link to that in the show notes. That way you have it if you're interested. While, yes, we will be talking about all these things on future podcast episodes, I want you to have that in case you're planning a trip to New Zealand within the coming weeks or months and you want to know what to do, places to go, some of the things that we did. Maybe you saw some of our stories and were like, oh, I'd love to do that. And you want to know what that experience is like. You'll see that there. Make sure to bookmark that link because I'll be working on blog posts for a lot of these different experiences that we had so that way you can actually get more of an in-depth review or read on these different experiences as well. And also the good thing to know about it and the reason why I want to put it out there, especially if you're planning a trip, is things in New Zealand book fast. Now, if you're going the next 3 to 6 months, you're going to be outside their peak season, which is when we were there. So you're probably more likely to find availability for things that you want to do. But I'll tell you, things like Hobbiton, which is Lord of the Rings, the Shire, or the Inter-Island Ferry, which takes you from the South Island to the North Island and vice versa. Those things we booked back in like September, and they had very limited windows of time that were still available for January, to give you some perspective. So very rarely am I ever booking something 5 months out, but it actually was necessary for some of these things. So you might find that beneficial for you as well. As always, I like to end these quick hits with gratitude. I appreciate each and every one of you. I absolutely love the community and how it's continuing to grow. You are all fantastic. I love the conversation. I love the pictures that people are sharing. I think we just had someone that shared pictures from her stay in the Hyatt in Jaipur, and everyone's like, oh my God, this place looks like a castle. It looks amazing. A lot of the stuff that happens in the community is absolutely fantastic. I appreciate that. The questions that get asked on our different socials, as well as in our Facebook group, which I know the Facebook group isn't probably blasting off every single day like a lot of other ones. That's probably because a lot of the engagement is just in our kind of community chat, but still really appreciate each and every one of you each and every week. And with that, I will go ahead and wrap up this one. I hope each and every one of you have a fantastic weekend. Have a fantastic week. If you're in anywhere where it's cold, I hope you stay warm or go to somewhere where it's warm. And as always, we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales Podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love travel but don't always have time to plan, we've got a podcast for you.
It's called Travel in 10, and in every episode, in about 10 minutes, we give you a smart, practical overview of destinations all around the world.
We cover what to see, where to stay, where to eat, and what actually matters when you're planning out a trip.
It's designed for real life. Listen on the way to the airport, in the car, or while you're thinking about your next getaway.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.